Hey, welcome back. Hello, everybody. I am so excited for this next episode. Thank you for joining me again to Wonder Why with L Wonder. I am your host, L Wonder, as you can see behind me. And I am so excited for this next part. I am so excited because we are continuing on with our We Be Like message. And what we're doing as we're stepping into March, March is Women's History. So in the celebration of the season, we definitely want to move with times here at Wonder Why. So even though we are going to continue to celebrate our Blackness, even though we're going to continue to celebrate African-American history, I'm going to continue my series of We Be Like. But today we are going to celebrate. Oh, you can't see it. Let me see. I'm going to celebrate. Okay, well, you'll see it once I change my shirt. We are going to celebrate, and we are going to talk about writing like Maya. We are going to talk about Maya Angelou. Oh my goodness! And her story, her background, her foundation is so jam packed, and we got so much to unpack in who she is and what she is. And just to FYI, we're not using this time to become a history lesson or to teach a history lesson, because most of us know certain historical facts about these amazing people. I will give a foundation of their history and who they are and what made them stand out. I'm touching a point as far as what led them to that place. And saying all of these things, with Maya Angelou, what we're going to be doing is just talking about writing and the value and the importance of writing like Maya, because Maya used her writing in such a powerful way to speak out when in a time that she was afraid and could not speak or did not want to speak because of some things that she's been through. So we're going to get more into that, but I'm so glad once again that you join Wonder Why with L Wonder, and we are going to continue on with the fifth part of We Be Like as we uncover, unwrap, unpack, write like Maya. So sit back, relax, enjoy yourself. If you're driving, go ahead, make sure you stay focused on the road. But if you're driving, go ahead, listen, put your listening ears on. Make sure to share this with whoever, with some family, friends, whatever the case may be. But thanks again for coming back. And we are about to get to our main event, which is Wonder Why with L Wonder, We Be Like series, part 5, and write like Maya. Peace. Thank you. Hey, welcome everybody to this next episode. Oh my goodness, I cannot believe we actually have so many episodes so far. I'm just pulling everything up. I cannot believe that we have spent. This is our, oh my goodness, we got a lot of episodes. We really do have a lot of episodes in here. This is actually episode 18 that we about to work on, that we about to start. This is episode 18. If you've been keeping track, episode 18 of Wonder Why Podcast with me, your man, L Wonder. And today we are continuing on with the Black History edition of We Be Like. And this is part 5. This is part 5. I told you we are going to continue this going on. We didn't do it just for February, Black History Month. I mean, Black History is more than just February. So that's why we're going to continue on. But I know that you're going to, if you've been enjoying ourselves, please do not hesitate. Leave some comments, write something. Let me know. Email me. You got my email address, lwonder821@gmail.com. Hit me up. Let me know what you're thinking. If you're listening to this on the audio part of the podcast, leave a comment, leave a message, leave a recording, whatever the case may be. I want to hear from you, okay? I definitely want to hear from you. So I'm not going to take, we're not going to take too much longer than jumping into it. I'm excited about getting to this portion. And because it is March, and I didn't do this on purpose, but this is just how things go. So, you know, when the spirit allows certain things to shift in a certain way, you just got to flow with it. That's one of the things that I have learned from my spiritual mother. But yes, when it's as the spirit flows, you just got to learn how to flow with it. And as the spirit, as we jump into March, March is Women's History Month. March is known as Women's History Month. So I want to show some appreciation to all the ladies out there, the women out there, because I in particular, all the women in my life, starting with my mother and my grandmother and my aunties, the women in the neighborhood that grew me, that helped groom me and prepare me for things that I had no idea that I was going to be stepping into, for my spiritual mother, for Sharia, God rest her soul, my first wife, the amazing person that she was, Simone, her sister Simone, my current wife, most definitely Amanda, because right now like I told her, we've been together for 6 years, and the way that she has pushed me and elevated me into the place that I am in right now, the impact that she has had, all of the family and friends, my mother-in-law, all of the family and friends, the people around me that I know. So I appreciate all you women in this March History Month. And please do me a favor, go back and get an understanding, get a foundation of who are some of the women who shaped the foundation and can give you different concepts into who you are, okay? So that's what I really want to jump into today. Because as you see on my shirt, we are going to be talking about one Right Like Maya, okay? Right Like Maya. This is our fifth part of our We Be Like series. And this week we are talking about writing like Maya. And we're going to be talking about the value in writing. We're going to be talking about the value of how Maya Angelou got to the point where she had to write, certain strategic things that went on in her life, and how it led to what she did, the impact. Now, first off, let's talk about the impact on Maya Angelou, okay? Let's talk about some of the things that Maya Angelou have done, okay? Okay, so let's talk about some of the things that Maya Angelou have done. So Maya Angelou, first off, Maya Angelou founded encouragement for her literary talents at the Harlem Writers Guild. So when she was in this Harlem Writers Guild, that's when she was put into certain plays, certain folk opera plays like Porgy and Bess. She was in The Blacks. She was performing, she was acting, but she was also writing for different things. And what she tended to do was write about what she came to know about the struggle as a Black person, as a Black woman, as a Black person, period. So it wasn't just a female, but then she eventually did get into writing about the struggles of African Americans. What I liked about Maya Angelou, and what you will see when you, and we're going to go through one of her writings a little bit later on in the show, but what you will see is Maya used her voice, her writing, to give the voice to a voiceless. So, and it's very significant on why she went through this. So what I'm going to be doing is, now she went on to do that. She was in, I didn't even pay attention because I was younger at the time, but Maya Angelou was an actor. We've seen her in many of the Tyler Perry movies. We've seen her she was actually on Poetic Justice, which I haven't watched that movie since I was, for a long time. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I didn't really pay attention. In fact, I might actually go back and watch that movie to see if I notice her in it. But Maya Angelou did a lot of acting. She is very profound. She became what we looked at eventually, as I was coming up, she was that voice to the younger generations who was trying to inspire and speak to us about who we are and what we are and what we can be. She was the auntie or grandmother, or that adult voice, that role model who let us know about a standard, who taught us about keeping our bearings, who always pushed to talk to us and let us know, as a people, as a Black people, that we do have more to bring to the table than the mess, than the ratchetness, than the image that they already expect from us. She let us know that. And this is what I want to, this is what we're going to feed into. We're going to talk about a little bit about her life and why she was so big in that aspect. Some of the things that she went through that kind of shaped, that kind of molded her mentality and her drive and who she is and what she set out to do and set out to be as well. But not only what she set out to be, but who she knew it for her people to be and what she inspired. So, and we also, another thing, what we're also going to do as we talk about part of who her life, what her life was and what the things that she done in her life and what inspired her to do such great things that she did do, we're also going to be talking about the power of writing. We're going to be talking about the significance and why it is why we need to value being able to write down, jot down, take notes, whether it's through writing, through physically writing, whether it's on a tablet, whether it's through typing, whatever the case may be. There's a power in writing. So as we go through the life of, as we talk about the life of Maya, and we are encouraged by her mentality and her drive and her writing, we're going to talk about why it's valuable and why it's important to write like Maya, to take the time to actually just write like Maya. Okay? So I'm excited because first, so I know I posed a question earlier this week, and let me look at my Facebook to get that exact question. But when I posed a question to everybody this week on my Wonder Why page, but I also posted it on my own page. The question was, which job was not one of Maya Angelou's previous jobs? And I asked, out of these four things, which one was she not? A cocktail waitress, a factory worker, a prostitute, and a cook. Out of those four jobs, which one was not one of Maya Angelou's jobs? I know that most people are going to say off rip, she was not a prostitute. But let me tell you, that is not the right answer. She actually was a prostitute. In 1940, Angelou moved with her mother to San Francisco and worked intermittently as a cocktail waitress, as a prostitute, as a madam, and a cook, and a dancer. And it was as she was dancing that she assumed her professional name as Maya Angelou. That wasn't her original name. So I, why do I say that? Why do I bring this up? I bring this up because I need you to understand certain things. Now, we are going to be jumping around a little bit, okay? So stay with me. This was in 1940. Maya Angelou was born in 1928. So I'm gonna actually backtrack a little bit more. But see, there are certain things that we are going to discuss that led to the point where Maya Angelou went through certain things that led her into certain places. Now, remember, the verse that always resonates to me that I always talk about on this podcast is how all things will work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Remember, we talked about that. All things will work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. That means when the things, not just the things that you think, not just the good stuff that goes on, not just the positive things, but God will allow that, God will use everything that happens in your life, even if he did not cause it. If he allowed it, he will use it, everything in your life, to work for your good, because you're called according to his purpose and you love him. So all those things is going to work together. So in saying all of that, Maya Angelou had some things that led to her coming to this point that she felt like this is where she had to be at. Now you got to think about this time that there was only certain professions, and there, especially with what, now I don't know if you knew this. Okay, so Maya Angelou born April 1st, so a little bit less than a month would be her birthday. She was born April 1st, 1928, okay? So if Maya Angelou was still alive, she would be 93, she'd be about to be turned 93. Okay, 93 years old. She would have been about to turn 93. hopefully, let me know if my math is wrong. I'm not a mathematician. I just believe that that is right. I might be wrong, but let me know if I'm wrong. But anyway, in saying that, she was an American poet, a mentor, a memorist, and an actress whose several volumes of autobiography. Now, she did. She had several volumes of her autobiography. And they explored the themes of economics. They explored the themes of racism, and sexual opposition. So why? Let me tell you why. Because did you know that around the time that Maya Angelou was eight, and I learned this, initially I learned this from my daughter, from Shamar. She had a Maya Angelou report to do. And she talked to us about it. And Maya Angelou was sexually assaulted. Maya Angelou was sexually assaulted. She lived with her grandparents for the most part, but then she spent most of the time with her paternal grandparents in a little city, little town called Stamps, Arkansas. But when she was not even 8 years old, she was raped by her mother's boyfriend. And she told about it. So Maya Angelou wasn't even 8 years old. And she was raped by her mother's boyfriend. When I hear stuff, when I see stuff, first off, I'm a dad. I'm a real dad. I'm a real father. I am a real father. So, and I have not just am I a father of a son, but I have two amazing daughters. So, and the thing about it is, with me being a father as a father for my son, there's certain things about being a man that I raise him in. There's certain things that I teach him about being a man and being tough and how to be able to deal with things and how to protect and how to, you know, that never give up, that never die. And there's a strong sense of what I teach my son as a man. But then the other side of it, as a father of two girls, that pulls more on the protective side of me. Now, yes, I'm going to protect my son as well. But when it comes to my daughter, that pulls on the side of a protective attribute as a father. I don't want anything to happen to my babies at all. But at the same time, I know that there's certain things that will. But when it comes to that, I feel like I got to protect my girls from creeps out here, because it's a lot of creeps. It's a lot of bogus people that's out here. It's a lot of mess out here. So me, as the father of my daughters, I got to protect them from the creepish ways and the creepish tendencies and the bogusness, the mess out here. So when I hear about something like this, Maya Angelou being raped at the age, not even turning eight, that's cringing. I cringe when I hear stuff like that. Why do I cringe when I hear stuff like that? Because for a fact of a grown man, an adult, I got to take something so valuable for a woman. To take it. Now, you're a grown man. There's a lot of females. You can talk. You can run game. You can spit game. You can talk. You can try to pick up whatever girl. There's a lot. Why is it that you feel the need and desire to go and take something from such an innocent being? That's why it's irritating. That's why it hurts. That's why it's cringing for me when I hear stuff about this. And then I ask myself, Lord, why was this allowed to happen? And that's when I'm reminded of that verse. I do not have an answer for you to tell you why this was okay to happen. But I do have this for you. That my favorite verse, as I said, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. That means even the crappy mess like this, you mean to tell me even the stuff like this God can use? Even the stuff like that, when it's taking when it's taking away some innocence from somebody, You mean to tell me God can use that type of thing for a good, for the good? So if Maya Angelou, let me take that back. If Marguerite Ann Johnson, which is her given name, which was her original name, Marguerite Ann Annie Johnson, wasn't even 8 yet. And this creep, not it was, and what was creepish about it was her mother's boyfriend. I hope that tells us something. First off, women. Now, when I was separated, when I was dating people, when I even when after Sharia passed away, before I met Amanda, and I would be dating people, I found it detestable how easy it was for a woman to be willing and okay with introducing me to their child or bringing me around their children. Women, please protect your children. Do not allow that. And this is the first thing I'm getting. Women, please, please, please. You are the first line of defense. I know that everybody wants to be loved. I know everybody wants to have somebody, but women, please, please, please protect the gifts that are given to you in these children. Even if you did not plan, even if it was not planned, even if it wasn't like it was a perfect example or the perfect situation, even if you can't stand their father, whatever the case, that child is a gift. And that child, God utilized that child, not just for that child's life, but for your life as well. So if God is giving you the gift, that beauty in that child, please protect that gift. That's the first thing I want to say in this series. Women, please protect that child. Be careful with who you bringing around that child. That child could be the president. That child could be an inventor. That child can make something phenomenal. That child can give a speech. That child can inspire. That child can raise. That child can teach. That child can be a doctor. That child, you never know what's in the future for that child. And please protect them, cover them. Be careful. Do not let any and everybody around them. Please do not throw that pearl to a swine and be protective over that jewel. That's the first thing I wanted to say. Secondly, even with that mess, God was still able to use that mess for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Maya Angelou might not have understood it at the time. And I'm not saying that God allowed it and God made it happen, but it happened and God was still able to use that for so many things, for the glory, for his glory, but also to magnify and build up and push Maya to step and walk into her purpose. Why do I say that? I say that because, so what happened from there? A couple of things happened. I'm about to move into this story. And as I move into this story, just stick with me, just stay with me, because I'm going to transition through chronological order. So first off, I'm so glad that her, whoever she talked to, whoever she told on, they were able to listen. Whoever she told, they were listening. Please hear what our children have to say. Listen to what our children have to say. It's funny because you know, this weekend, one of my favorite movies just came out with a sequel this weekend. Yes, Coming to America came out with a sequel this weekend. And I was excited. We had a watch party. It was an amazing thing. Most people had their own views, but I'm gonna tell you, to me, it stood up to all expectations for me. That's just me personally. I liked it. I really enjoyed it. I'm going to watch it again today. That was an instant classic for me. I really did enjoy it. In saying that, it reminded me of, you know, one of my favorite scenes in that movie was Sexual Chocolate, you know, Randy Watson. And he was singing, "I Believe the Children Are Our Future." And it reminded me of that song. Now, that was a song. We had that song for our graduation, our kindergarten graduation. Maybe it was pre-K, kindergarten, one of them two. It was either pre-K or kindergarten, but we had it for our graduation. And we sung that song, "I Believe the Children Are Our Future." Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty that they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride. to make it easier. And it went on to talk about the children, and it talked about how innocent they are. It talked about, and let them all remind us how we used to be. It's telling us, let our children be our future. So what is, in a sense, what it's explaining to us to do is, we have to grab hold of what our children are saying and doing, because our children are our future. We have to listen to them, because we never know that what they got to say, how what they got to say will impact things. Many times what we tend to do is silence our children or tell them children need to stay in a child's place. And I understand that. I definitely am an advocate for respect, for teaching respect. But there are certain times that you just have to be in tune. And this is why we got to stay in tune with the Most High. This is why we got to stay in tune with God, because there are times where God will speak to you through your children. So when you are in the place, when you are building a relationship, when you are in a tight relationship with Christ, with God, then you can hear when he's telling you, shh, listen. Because our children might have something to say that we might need to listen to. So when we're talking about listening, we were talking about writing like Maya, make sure we adhere to Maya's story. She had to tell somebody what was going on that wasn't supposed to be going on. I say this to you today. Somebody needs to hear something, and your child has been saying something to you. Make sure that you're listening to what your child is saying. Make sure that you do not brush them off. Make sure that you are adhering. You know what our children can say, the purest thing, and it says from the mouths of babes. It talks about how we can get purity, how we can get the most significant inspiration or delivery of a message that we need, because that child is only speaking things from a pure sense. It's not about ulterior motives. It's not about what can I gain, what can I get. A child will speak the most innocence. So just like Maya, I'm so glad that somebody listened. It said that she told, and she told of it. Now, peep this. This is the crazy thing about it. So this guy went to jail. He spent the night in jail. He got charged that night that he came out of jail. The day he came out of jail, as soon as he came out of jail, he was found murdered right after that. He was found murdered after that. What I'm saying is, you know, I'm not saying that about who should have got who or none of that. I'm not going to get into that. But this is the impact that it had on Maya Angelou. Well, let me take that back. On Marguerite Annie Johnson. Marguerite Annie Johnson felt so ashamed because she told. And then not just that he went to jail, she knew he wasn't supposed to be messing with him. But see, this is the innocence of a child. She felt so ashamed that when she told on somebody, and then he went to jail, he came out, got in jail, but then he got murdered. Somebody took his life. That because of all of that stuff, Marguerite Annie Johnson spent years not talking. Yeah. One version that I read says several years. Another version said 5 years. There's a couple different stories and postings and stuff like that gives you a various account of how many years. But it was crazy that she was so traumatically distraught. Another one said she became mute for 6 years. I'm reading one that said she became a mute for 6 years. So one said five, one said several, one said six. Basically, she stopped talking because of this. She felt like, oh, and it could have been a lot of things. I told because I knew what he was doing was wrong, but shoot, I told, and now look at what happened to him. He died. Somebody killed him. So she could have been blaming herself. Even though she was the victim, she could have been blaming herself. And it changed her mentality. It changed how she functioned. That's crazy. So she became a mute, not really talking. well into her teenage years. She got, and then she did, at that time, she moved back with her grandparents back to Arkansas. Now, Angelou's, it says Angelou's interest in the written word and the English language was evident from an early age. Throughout her childhood, she wrote essays, poetry, and kept a journal. When she returned to Arkansas, she took an interest in poetry and memorized works by Shakespeare and Poe. Prior to the start of World War II, Angelou moved back into her mother's, who at that time in Oakland, California, she attended school at Mission High School. When war broke out, Angelou applied to join the Women's Army Corps. However, her application was rejected because of her involvement in the California Labor School, which is said to have been tied to communism. Okay, so basically, at this time, this is when she became mute and she stopped talking. That's when the war broke out and everything like that. There was a lot going on. She tried to apply for the Women's Army, but they wouldn't take her because they was nervous that, you know, with the whole communism and all the other stuff. She took an interest in something. There was something in her before, even at a younger age, about writing. Please, and what does that say to me? That your destiny could be tied into things that you've already, the things that could be, have been known as your first love since you were younger. Do a favor to yourself and examine what has always been a passion. Does examine your passions. Examine what's familiar to you. Examine the things that you always encouraged or always liked to do. Go and look back at stuff that you wanted to do. What was your passions? What did you want to do? What always had an interest of yours? That's what it's showing me. That's one of the things that Maya's story is standing out and telling me. That she always had a love for the English, for words, for writing down the English language and stuff like that, even from a young age. The average child ain't reading Edgar Allan Poe or William Shakespeare. So go to explore, go examine your passion. Then, as I just said, she wanted to apply for certain things. She wanted to be fighting. She wanted to be part of the Women's Army Corps, and they rejected her because of that communism. And then she went to apply, and then many men lost their jobs and being streetcar conductors. We know that around that time, it enabled the females to step into roles that many men feel. And so she applied for certain jobs and even with that, but she was denied because of her race. But she was undeterred. Let's stop there for a minute. But she was undeterred. So Maya went, let's examine that for a moment. Maya seen there was the war, the world was going into war again. World was going into war. And Maya wanted to stand up and fight for the cause and be part of the cause. Something that had nothing to do with her. It was a school that she went to, had a certain type of reputation. So she was rejected. Maya also be now with all the men going off to war. Maya also tried to go and help out by going into these other certain particular jobs. And most of them she was turned down from because of her race. So two things that Maya had nothing to do with, or two things that it was no movement by Maya, it was no choice of Maya. It had nothing to do with anything that she had a choice to deal with. She was rejected because of two things that she had nothing to do with, or that she was rejected because of two things that she did not make a choice in, that she did not have a choice in. What does that stick for? How does that stand out? Please understand this. that you can go through certain things, that you can, man, you can be rejected from certain things that have nothing to do with you. Once again, please remember this. I think that, and this is my own personal belief, and this is why I'm what I'm inspired to share with you today, that Maya Angelou was not able to join the Women's Army Corps, nor was she able to take certain jobs, because all things works together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. It was not God's purpose for Maya Angelou to become part of the Women's Army Corps. It was not God's purpose for Maya Angelou to become part of whatever job she was applying for, because he had a different design for him. Think about this. How many times did the children of Israel try their best to make their way to Egypt before they got to Egypt? Abram went multiple times and got kicked out. Sometimes it's not meant for you to be in a certain place. Sometimes you got to accept the fact that when God tells you no, it's for a purpose that's beyond what you want it to be. Sometimes if God is telling you no, you are not supposed to be in place A, or you know you're not supposed to be with this person, or no, this is not supposed to work out. Please understand something, that you're not being rejected because you're not good enough. You might be rejected because that's not the place that God have for you. So if God is telling you this is not for you, if God keeps showing you, no, you're not supposed to be here, this is not the place for you, no, that's not what I got for you, then stop trying to force yourself into a position, or else you can find yourself outside of the will of what God wants for you. See, Maya wanted to do what was right. And just because it was what was right does not mean it was what God wanted for her. And that's the thing that we got to understand. I hope you understand today that, and these are the things that God has put on my heart when he talks about writing like mine. Now, why? It's the reason why. Because you have to make sure that you're in the right place. You have to make sure that you are functioning within the right things. You already heard me talk to you about. Make sure that you are functioning and doing the things that God have for you. And that you can just examine your past. You can examine your childhood passions. You can examine your first loves and see, what have you always been called to? What does it seem like you always go back to? Maya was writing. And as we see, Maya was writing before. It was writing before Maya was even old enough. Before the whole rape thing, Maya loved writing. Okay, now, why is this important? It's important because of what Maya was moving into, okay? And like I said, she was not deterred from being rejected. There was a timing thing that had to happen, and there was a push that had to go on. Maya Angelou was applying to work for the streetcar, as a streetcar conductor. And she kept getting denied because of her color. They didn't have any African-American as a streetcar conductor for San Francisco back then. So she was persistent. She kept trying. Every day for 3 weeks, she tried to request a job application. She was kept getting denied for a job application. And finally, the company relented and because of her persistence, they finally gave her application. You got to know the difference between when it's time to step back, but you also got to know the difference between when you got to keep on pushing. I know that's a confusing statement to say, but that's why when I always tell you, please stay connected to the Heavenly Father. Please stay connected to God, because that's where the direction comes in. And I always say this, you always hear me talk about how you have to stay connected to the one who sees all. Because if you don't stay connected, then you won't be able to have a chance to even make it through what you got to make it through. Okay? That's real important. But Maya, she ended up pushing and she pushed and she pushed. And then she did. She finally got the job in her last year of school. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son after graduating high school. After graduating, Angela undertook many civil rights activists. So that's when she started getting into activism, and she started getting into acting as well. She was coordinator of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. This organization was created in 1957 by Dr. Martin Luther King, also known as the Southern Leadership Conference, advocate for the rights of the African American. So she started getting into civil rights activism. And then that's when in 1969, she really started, that's when everything started blowing up for her. Now, she started writing. She wrote a lot. She wrote a lot. She wrote a lot, a lot, a lot. And this is the thing. Why is this a value? And I just want to read this real quick. Actually, what I want to do is look up. Now, Maya wrote. And one thing I try to tie into, because I, like I said, there's two things that I'm unapologetically about. Well, there's a lot of things, because I'm unapologetically a father. I'm unapologetically a husband. But I am unapologetically Black, and I am unapologetically African, and I'm unapologetically Christian. I don't do this thing. I don't follow Christ because of what somebody should have told, what they told. I know I follow Christ because of what I read. It's a combination because of what I read and because of how I experienced God in my life. So in saying that, I will never deny what God is speaking to my heart about or whatnot. And when it talks about writing, like Maya, words encouraged, it inspired, it pushed, it motivated, it drove. It will continue to do that. And she's been, had passed away years ago. So in saying that, there's something about words. A lot. And what I, so it, now let me give you a backstory. I know, separate from this, I'm just going to tell you about me. I want to say about when I, there was a point where I was trying, this was in like 2000, maybe 15, 16, that God spoke, that God was, that I was curious. I felt a shift going on in my life, and I didn't know what was about to happen. I didn't know how things, what was happening, but I felt that there was something twisting and turning, that something, that my focus was zoning in or something, on something different than what I was used to. And I couldn't put my finger on it. I couldn't touch it. I couldn't figure it out. But I did. That's why my podcast now is a big deal to me, because I didn't know what to look for, what I was looking for. But I did know, you know, I was inspired to listen to different podcasts and just read up on different things and listen to different documentaries. And so I was just on a journey. And one of the journeys that I was on, I was listening to Roland Martin at the time. And I listened to him, and he said, hey, he said, a lot of people came to him and said, Roland Martin, what do I do? How do I get started? I'm passionate. I want to do this. I want to do that. How do I get started? And Roland Martin said something that stood out to me that made the biggest difference in my life. Because what I believe is when you get direction, make sure that you follow it through. And Roland Martin said, it's easy. Let's go to the word. And the Bible tells us in Habakkuk 2:2 to write the vision and make it plain. So I'm going to read to you Habakkuk 2, starting at verse 1 and going to 3. It says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me. And when he said he is talking about God, he want to see what God is about to say to him. And what I will answer then, am I correct. So he first basically said, I'm going to listen. I'm going to put my ear to the place to see what God has got in store for me. I have to get focused. I'm going to stand watch. I'm going to be in the place, put myself in position to get a word from God. And I'm going to wait. I'm going to be attentive. I'm going to be paying attention to get a good word from God. So that's the first thing. First thing, please make sure if you are looking to try to figure out what's your direction, what are you going to, what's your next step? If you are in a transitional point in your life and you want to know how do I get from here to there, first off, put yourself in position to hear what God is saying. What does that mean? That means if you need to start praying more, if you need to start fasting more, if you need to start disconnecting from social media or disconnecting from certain people so that you can connect to God, so you can connect to the source, then that's what you need to do. But whatever it is, that is your responsibility to put yourself in position to get a word and get direction from God. Remove the surroundings. I mean, remove the things that are around you that's going to separate you from getting that clarity or getting that word. And then this is what we're going to do on the next verse. That was verse one. It said, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. I'm going to continue on, then I'm going to come back. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. No, let me go back there. I'm going to stop at that. So we already understand. First off, get your focus on so you can hear what God got to say. That's the first thing. Then verse 2, it tells us to write the vision and make it plain. When you hear what God wants you to do, when you get a word, when you get clarity, what you need to do is write that vision down. Why am I saying write it down? This is why, because I hope you understand there's a very huge significance when it comes to writing things down, okay? It's a huge thing. Writing things down has a huge part to play, and I'm going to break down what it is. The first thing that writing things down does, and it's scientific. So for all the scientific people here, one side of your brain is the imaginary part. The other side of the brain is the tangible, putting it down, actually taking some action part. So what we do is when we think certain things with certain parts, writing things down puts that same idea and it crosses it over from the imaginative until the active, the action-packed part of it. So when we start writing things down, first off, you're writing the ideas down and you're getting them outside of your brain because you have the potential of them losing it, because especially with our memory, certain things, the more that we remember, the more we go through it, put the certain things get pushed out of our brain when we're not utilized as often. So what it does, it first off, it gets that idea to be more than just a concept. Now it's a tangible item. When you write stuff down, it also gets that idea out on paper so you can actually see it. Then you can start formulating a plan. When you write stuff down, when it's in your head, it's a thought, it's an idea, but it has no impact until you can actually put it down and start seeing it. And once you write it down, once you see it, and that's why God said, write the vision, make it plain. As just like he said in Habakkuk, he said, for the vision is yet, and this is where it continued on, for the vision is yet an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So in part two, it tells you, put it on tablets, write it down, maybe whether it's on your iPad, whether it's on your laptop, whether it's on a piece of paper, write that vision down, because when you read it, you're going to be able to run with it. You're going to know what you have to do. And that's when you can start formulating a plan to actually get it to start functioning, to get to start flowing into it. I want to go to school. So what's the first thing that I got to go to school? First thing, I got to decide which school do I want to go to. Once I decide which school I want to go to, then I got to figure out, okay, so when is the next time that I can actually register for school? When does the next set of classes start? Once you start writing stuff down, once you start putting stuff to paper, once you start formulating a plan, you are able to run with it, just like Habakkuk says. It says, and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. So you can run with it. You can take it. You can make a plan out of it. You can go with some direction with. So once you write the vision down and make it plain, that's why we got to start writing like Maya, because Maya was able to take those things that was in her and get them out on and formulate them on tablets so that we can now run with it. And guess what? Now that Maya Angelou has passed on and in a whole different place, we still are able to run with the things that she wrote down. Because Maya Angelou was there to inspire. Maya Angelou was there to lift up. Maya Angelou was there to speak to and build up and push people to the purpose that they had within them. And that's why it's such an important place that we have to make sure that we're writing the things down. Because I guarantee Maya, because the things that Maya has seen in her early childhood, Maya had to be able to take, it shut her down. She couldn't even speak about it from it for at least 5 to 6 years. But she did have a gift in her and see, that's the thing about it. The devil is always going to try to silence you from what your passion is. It's going to try to silence you from what your flow is. Don't allow that to happen. Because there is so much in you that has yet to happen. I hope this is good to you. And I'm about to close this out soon. I try not to take all day. I try not to talk a lot. I want to give you the meat and potatoes of what you need, and then I want to get out. Because I want you to be able to hear this and listen to it and be able to walk away with this. So let me, as we're about to check out of here, and we talked about writing like Maya. It is so much more I always say this, and I've been saying this. I'm only giving you the cover because I only want to give you enough to keep you coming back, and I want to give you just enough to make encourage you, inspire you, so that you can go ahead and do the work that's within you. I want to go over one of the most famous poems, not the most famous, but one of the most famous poems that Maya Angelou wrote. And I just want to leave you with this poem. In this poem, like I said, Maya Angelou has inspired so many people. Maya Angelou have lifted people up. She's encouraged. And Maya has been in that dark place herself. She understands what it's like to be pushed down. She understands what it's like to be looked down upon. When I talked about her being a prostitute, when I talked about her being a madam, you know, those aren't the places that she knew that those was not the places that was for her. But at the same time, she knew she had to be in those places because people put you in a certain ideal. People have certain ideas about you, and you can't let nobody's idea about you run who you are or what you are. Maya was not destined to be a prostitute. Maya may have done that, but that was not who she was. Maya may have cooked. She was a cook at one point in time, but that is not who she was. There's a difference between what you have done and who you are. Please know that. That was whoever that's for. I hope y'all grab that. I hope y'all own that. I hope that you can grab hold of it and not let it go, because there's a difference between what you have done and who you are. Do not let what you have done identify who you are. Do not let anybody else identify who you are. Know within yourself who God is speaking to you about you are. Know what is within you. Know that the passions that's on your heart, the drive that's in you, let those things be motivation to get you to where you need to be. Don't let nobody dictate who you are. Don't let nobody dictate what you've done. Don't let nobody take your past and put that off on you as far as your personality. Your past is not your personality. Your past is just that, your past. Because you passed it and you keep going forward. So in saying that, I'm going to close with this poem by Maya Angelou. And it is one of the most famous poems. One of her most famous poems. And she wrote this back in 1978. And this poem is called Still I Rise. She said, "You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still, like dust, I rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? 'Cause I walk like I've got oil wells pumping in my living room. Just like moons and like suns with the certainty of tides, just like hopes springing high, still I'll rise. Did you want to see me broken? Bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries? Does my hauntiness offend you? Don't you take it awfully hard. Cause I laugh like I've got gold mines digging in my own backyard. You may shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. You may kill me with your hatefulness, but still like air, I rise. Does my sexiness upset you? Does it come as a surprise that I dance like I've got diamonds at the meeting of my thighs? Out of the hurts of history's shame, I rise. Up from the past that rooted in pain, I rise. I'm a black ocean leaping and wide, welling and swelling, I bear in the tide, leaving behind the nights of terror and fear, I rise. Into a daybreak that's wondrously clear, I rise. Bring the gift that my ancestor gave. I am the dream and hope of the slave. I rise, I rise, I rise. Thank you, everybody, for another action pack, for joining me for another action pack and tribute to not just Black history, but also a tribute to women's history. Like I said, shout out to all the amazing women out there for all the amazing things that not just that you have done, but and that you are doing, but that you have yet to do. Stay up. Keep writing like Maya. I mean, yes, keep writing like Maya. Keep on living the dream. And I cannot wait to hit you up next week as we continue on with our tribute, not just to Black History Month. We're going to continue on with We Be Like, but we're also going to continue on with Women's History Month. And next week, I got something good for you as well. I definitely, we'll keep it going. And like I said, we're going all the way. I cannot believe we just finished with week 5 and we're going to jump into week 6 next week. But the next week, we are going to get into building like Madam CJ. So I'm excited about that. Yes, you like I said, you just heard me talk about writing like Maya. Thank you once again for joining me on Wonder Why with your man L Wonder. And from here, go ahead and enjoy the rest of your weekend. Wonder out.